Hello and welcome to the An Inspired Life podcast. This is the home of spiritual and also really raw human conversations that inspire us to stop talking about spirituality and actually live our divine truth. My name is Kiara O'Leary. I'm a divine change agent. A devoted stands for the undiluted divine power within each of us and your host. Every week I speak to an inspiring thought leader from around the world in an unscripted, we have no idea where it's going, totally intuitively guided conversation to bring you practical tips that you can apply immediately to create powerful shifts in your life. Each episode is also a potent transmission that will raise your vibration simply by listening. I'm honored to share with you this week's guest, Christian Stefan Martin. He's an unbound initiator, TEDx speaker, dancer, and explorer. He constantly sets himself a new vision that excites and calls him outside of his current limits and helps others to release themselves from their own inner cages too. He believes inner work times authentic expression equals unavoidable freedom. And today we talked about becoming limitless. In that, we discussed the importance of having a vision that excites you and makes you want to elevate your existence. Why needing to know the how keeps you limited and the antidote, Christian's one true step. How Christian listens to the 0.001% of his heart and holds his heart's integrity first and foremost, and why going deeper into our shadow parts is crucial when reaching for greater height. This was a beautiful exploration of authenticity and how to open up to more of you and more in your life. So I hope you enjoy it. Listen up. Hey Christian, it is so awesome to be chatting with you and a little bit like nervy to be chatting with you. Like there's like butterflies in my stomach and in my heart, which is rare for me and exciting for me. So thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm very, very excited. This is one of the most exciting things I think I've experienced this week. And I don't know why, I was like, it's going to be a great podcast. So,
amazing. No pressure.
yeah. Zero.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you. So we are talking all about becoming limitless at the moment. And I would love to hear a bit about your story. So who were you before you realized that you could give yourself permission to be limitless, and how's the journey been? And then tell us where you are now as well. I would love to hear all of that.
Cool.
You look like, yes, someone just gave me permission to talk about how awesome my life is.
Yeah, actually, it's a bit like that.
Yeah,
I nailed it. I feel like I can't, for like the last month, I've actually realized I feel like I can't breathe, like in and around my throat. Mm. And no matter what I've tried to do, like from just sitting with it, kind of being like, what is this? Really like, you know, something going on there. And that was simply to acknowledge that as present for me right now.
Thank you. And let's roll with that coming up for you to share right now, because I feel like one of the most powerful things that we can do that takes the limits off what we see as possible and that takes the limits off what we see as possible, especially in our connection with other people, is to just simply speak whatever is coming up for us in that moment. Like I said, I feel like butterflies in my tummy and in my heart, and you're like, yeah, and I feel like I can't breathe. And I think it's actually like for our community awesome because it's standard, but for a lot of people really rare that we would just say like, hey, there's these scary things inside of my body right now that usually people hide, and I'm gonna say them so that I don't feel like I need to hide them. How has that impacted on your journey?
What really comes up for me is to actually embody and have limitlessness, like to be unbound And for it to be a genuine, tangible, like lifestyle, financial, business, travel, like for it to become embodied and through into the physical realm, I don't think there's any way that we can do that without being present in the moment. And every, yeah, anytime I clear, like if you want to call it clearing or just letting what comes up come out, you know, really sharing what's here, that brings me present. Like that brings me present. And I'm like, I'm no longer here, like with a little bit in the background going, oh, you know, I kind of can't breathe a little bit. And I imagine maybe for you, you're kind of not really going, oh, you know, my heart, I'm a bit nervous, my heart's beating, because it's been acknowledged, it's out into the open. And instead of like having kind of two walls between us, yours and mine, everything, well, you know, some things that are present are shared here. And it's just, in my experience, a deeper connection to myself now, to you, and to like whatever else is happening around us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've kind of played with the idea. It's like, well, I feel like everything is created in the present, but I also have my own counter arguments to that, which aren't fully developed. So like,
but, yeah. I saw Byron Katie speak last night, which was profound. And she, like, I feel like I'm really on the verge of actually living the truth that I am inside of my body and I am consciousness and I am creating everything around me, and all of it is this like amazing illusion that I'm creating with the divine, which is me. Like it's becoming not something that's just in my head, but I can feel that everyone is energy around me. Katie talks about how there is nothing else other than our present experience. And she's like that person who said the last sentence, like, how can you prove that she existed? How can you prove I said that sentence? And that future concept, like of who you're going to be in the future, you can't prove that that is ever going to exist either. So all of it is just this like energy, like of possibility around us, and none of it matters if you're not present in the current moment anyway.
Totally.
All right, I want to go back to your journey though, please, if we can.
Okay, so my journey began very early. I've had a lot of people say, did you have an awakening? And I'd have to say no. Like so many people, oh yeah, at 22, at 32, I realized I hated my job and I was just unconscious the whole time, and I just like quit, went and did a life coaching course, and my world was forever changed. So if I've had that, it happened very early on in my life.
You're like six and you're like, I don't agree with this bullshit at school.
Well, you know what? When I was in year six, so what, 11 years old or 12, going to high school, I knew the thing was you go to high school, then you go to university. And people were already telling me at that time, you'll go to university, then you'll specialize. And as an 11-year-old, I knew I wanted to study exercise science, but I also knew that I didn't want to just specialize. I literally said to myself, all right, I'm going to study osteopathy, psychology, nutrition, physio. Like I want to study everything because I love everything. And that was before I knew there was a word called holistic.
I'm surprised you knew there was a word called osteopathy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I knew very early on because I was a high-level basketball player. I was just under, I was kind of like the second from national level. Like I played against every other state, but then there's one level above that. And at 15, I joined a professional basketball team. And, you know, that for me, I've always been basketball was one of my biggest teachers. I started playing when I was six. For whatever reason, I was just a naturally studious person. And I literally self-taught everything, like psychology, visualization, plyometrics, fast twitch muscle fibers, recovery, nutrition. And I loved bettering myself, and I loved the feeling of helping others to better themselves. Mm. So that's like where my performance side and human performance really started. But one thing that was always, was in my path a lot was my relationship to girls during high school, young women in my early 20s. I was a good student. I was a great athlete. I had a lot of friends, you know, pretty popular. But I perceived myself as not masculine enough because I didn't drink, you know, for me in Australia, growing up, it was like, drink beer, how many girls can you get with on the weekend, play footy, you know, be rough, be loud, be aggressive. And I was chill. I didn't drink beer, hated the stuff, hardly partied, and was fine with showing my emotions. Mm. And so I'm like the opposite of the stereotypical Australian, even though I probably look like what everyone thinks they are. That inner perception affected my outer reality, of course. Mm-hmm. And very early on, I learned that this created the cage, and if this created the cage, it's definitely got to have the key.
Mm. So the mind created the cage, and then the mind has got to have the key.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So you've been testing the limits of what is possible from a very young age then. Like, it sounds like even in basketball you were like, okay, so this is what I've done today and what can I do tomorrow, like just constantly striving to unleash yourself or unbound yourself even back then.
Totally. Like, I was a freak of studying basketball. Like, I would hire DVDs and I would like watch my favorite players and the moves they did. And I would rewind it. I would slow my work. I would watch, like, did they set that move up 3 steps before the defender, 2 steps before the defender? How, at what angle was their body on? Did they go from slow to fast, high to low to high? Did they do 2 change of directions? Like, I literally just like studied as much as I could to get better in any area.
Wow. That's amazing. See, whereas I think that, actually, when I was in high school, I was a huge studier and perfectionist, huge. Like, I crippled myself. Like, I would come home with 97% and my mum would be like, how did you lose the 3%? And I crippled myself. But at the same time, I wasn't, my mum told me not to show my marks to other people because I would make them jealous that, I'd gotten such good marks. So I was like crippled, you know, either way. But I wanted to do that. But then when I've gotten like to understand spirituality, the idea of staring at a video and looking at all of those intricate details, like, I could not do that. I would be like, I'll just upgrade my energy so I don't have to do all of those like technical details on the outside. What do you feel? Like, you were doing, that's modeling, right? You were doing modeling before you even understood what modeling was. Mm-hmm. So just in case the listeners don't understand, do you want to talk to us about the way that you can learn from others in that sense? And then I'm so excited about the next question that I've got.
The way that we can learn from others?
Yeah, the modeling stuff.
I don't even know really, the word modeling doesn't really register for me. But is it more along the lines of transmission, osmosis, embodiment?
That is like an upgrade to modeling. So modeling in NLP is like neuro-linguistic programming, is understanding what someone else is doing. What is their psychology and mindset? What are their actual actions and habits? Mm. What do they think about or talk to themselves about just before they go ahead and do that thing? and you go and ask people or watch people and learn from people who are doing things and getting results in an area that you want, and then you learn from them so that you can do that. So you were doing that as a child anyway.
Yeah, okay. So I definitely did that, and I would ask higher level, like guys older than me, how they prepared, how they went into a game, especially around mindset. Especially around mindset. But, you know, one thing I guess I say to that is, just because it worked for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And I feel like that's pretty common sense, but we're all wired differently. Our biochemistry works differently. Our muscles have different fast twitch fiber, slow twitch fiber, you know, like all this stuff. So like when it comes to business, and, you know, human performance in business or coaching, I do look at people. It's the same. Just take what works for you and try it, see if it works for you.
Awesome. So I saw you write a post about permission recently, and it literally changed the way that I saw everything that I was doing. Actually, I didn't realize how much what I was doing and who I was being was centered around permission, like the leaps that I'd taken in my own growth and the way that I was activating like my friends and my clients around me was so much about permission. And until you said it, I didn't realize that's what it was. So I would love for you to share with us your take on permission and how it can help us to become limitless.
Permission, the first thing that comes up is, I think permission is one of the energies that I view it as an out in the world energy. Safety and trust are kind of energies that seem to help us gather ourselves. And they, for me, come before permission. And then I don't think there's an energy I've seen people work with more than permission that changes their ability to actually act in the world how they wish to. That's what comes up immediately for me.
So I feel like, okay, so everyone who's listening to this podcast already recognizes that our limits are self-imposed. Like I'm going to just make that assumption that we've been listening long enough that we understand that it's in our mind and that our limits are self-imposed and that we are infinite divine potential. So in terms of recognizing that anything, literally anything is possible, and I've talked about this enough times, like mentioning quantum physics and stuff in past ones, so we won't go back into that. But if anything is possible, what are the barriers between that huge infinite amount of possibility and us actually living that, and like us living in these limited trapped lives when anything is actually possible? And one I see as huge is permission. But, you know, I'd love for you to either continue to talk about permission or to tell us what else is coming up for you in terms of those barriers.
Definitely. Yeah, the four energies that keep repeating for me is safety, trust, permission, and worth. They are what I call the four foundational, the four dynamic pillars of effortless expression. And whatever we express, whether it's verbally, physically, energetically, so we don't even have to say anything, but whatever we are expressing, so I guess another word for that is vibrating, emanating, sharing, doing, that's what creates our reality. In terms of there's like the energetic side, then there's the practical side.
Give us both.
Yeah, okay. I feel like going to the practical side first. On the practical side, I feel like this is something I've been playing with recently, and so I'm kind of feeling, I'm a little bit like scattered right now, stumbling a little bit with this, but I've decided to change who I work with, and because I've kind of been cruising a little bit lately, what I've been doing is it's easy, which is great, but it's not essentially making me elevate my existence. It's kind of like, well, I could do it for the rest of my life and things for me, my reality might stay relatively the same. So you could call that like a plateau. And what's really been exciting me, and what I know is going to push my limits is actually stepping into the unknown. Like there's now clients that I want to be working with. I said it to you before we started recording this, you know, I want to be working with Forbes 30 under 30 people on that list, like disconnected playboys that have, you know, whether they're a man or a woman, that have, you know, a lot of financial, a lot of physical, business success, but their inner connection is, you know, not as they want it. They're empty. They second guess themselves. They're alone, whatever. So just putting that there, I don't know how to get to those people or attract those people. And that's really cool to me because I've now got to, like, I've got to work on myself to get there. And that really excites me. For some people, like the unknown, like for a lot of people, if it's unknown, like they really, okay, here we go. So many people really need to see how to get there first. And I would say it's not, I would say the part of people that wants that is the mind and the ego. I've for, you know, a long time now said that the mind wants all the pieces of the puzzle before it even acts.
I need
letters X through Z to steps through one to 100 if I'm even going to act. And that's like, that's actually people just saying, I need safety and certainty in my life so that I can step out.
And I do the opposite of that. And sometimes, like, I hear society's voice in my head or, you know, people around me in my head being like, you're crazy. Like, you can't just say yes and figure it out. Like, you need to be more responsible or whatever the criticisms are. But my belief is if we just commit more to this future reality, more to the bigger version of us than the smaller version of us, if we choose to live as this expanded version and just figure out the how along the way, that decision, that commitment, and that like leap of faith is what allows all the other pieces to just fall into place. So I love that you've just identified like the first step to being limitless is literally to just like kind of like park your flag over in this new reality, and then you figure out how to take the limits off. And the first limit, like, is to just be willing to say that you want it and that you're going for it.
Yeah, totally. And like, for me, I believe that to project onto other people, we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And yeah, definitely, it's just a funner journey for me, to be honest, like now. And trust our heart, trust that we'll be provided for. And really take what I call one true step. So like you might have, it might be a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you might have steps 1, 2, and 3, but not 4. Great. Take steps 1, 2, and 3. It's like, you know, one foot in front of the other, and check in with your heart, your body, along the way.
Like, you and I are both right now in California, and we both had kind of no idea what was going to happen here. Neither of us had booked accommodation. We're not taking this journey together. We came separately.
Yeah.
And magic has unfolded along the way, because we took steps 1, 2, and 3, booked the flights. I don't know about you. I booked my travel insurance from the airport on the way over.
I did too.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome. See, we're just like living as it comes up. Steps 1, 2, and 3, and magic has unfolded since. Mm. But I want to go back to, so you have this bigger vision for your business right now, mm-hmm. and it's scary, but you've gone, okay, I'm going to park my flag over here and I'm just going to make it happen, and that's all. So what are some of the fears that come up for you and for your clients and for, like, you know, kind of everyone when you take this? Maybe if you think back to when you were more scared of being uncomfortable, that might be more helpful. So you parked your flag over here, you're like, I want this. Holy shit, what fears come up around that, and what limits come up around that?
Yeah, the first thing for me with this new thing was, I don't know how.
Mm.
Like I just said. So that was like, you know, I know how to do what I've been doing. I know how I could continue to work with that and stuff. So the first thing was, I don't know how.
Mm.
And I imagine that happens for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, like I said, I've relished that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's that now. Thinking about other people and clients, there's a lot to do with identity and expression.
Mm-hmm.
To the same. I think a lot of people, because like our energy and our identity is established in the world, then it's really like, oh, you know, what are people going to think if I completely want to flip who I, you know, if I want to do a 180, start wearing like, I don't know, white robes or gothic clothes, like who knows, whatever they want to express. It's like, oh, what will people think of me? What will my parents think of me? What will my clients think of me? Like if you're a coach or a healer and you're wanting to change up things. So there's that.
Can I actually just jump in there?
Yeah.
So this is going to be really excited. So I'm listening to Russell Branson's book, Expert Secrets, at the moment. Mm-hmm. Blowing my mind. And he talks about how people are terrified to lose status. It's like one of the biggest fears that we have.
Yeah.
Hold up, let me get my excitement.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, so we're afraid of losing our status.
Mm.
And I think that goes back to tribal stuff. So it's like if we go for something and we fail, then that's like a fear that we'll lose the status of, like, we're now a failure, and then maybe we'll get kicked out of the tribe because we failed. Or if we have a dream and we don't go for it, it's like standard and we can still hold on to the dream and like that's not that scary. But if we go for the dream and then we fail, then people can see us fail, and that's what is scary. We're more scared of people seeing us fail than we are of never actually going for the dream in the first place. And he even talks about we want a Ferrari to raise our status, but in some cases the Ferrari would actually decrease our status because people would be jealous of us and they would hate us, so then we would be kicked out of the tribe. So there's like the high end of the scale of like, don't want to upset the status there, and the low end of the scale, don't want to be too much of a failure that you upset your status there.
Yeah.
And I think so much of our limits is about caring what other people think and how our status looks on the outside, so much so that we'll just like continue with the status quo so that we don't have to shake things up.
Great play on words.
I didn't mean that. I was like, nailed it as that came out.
Oh, man. I couldn't think of anything more boring to me right now than staying comfortably in the status that I have.
But how did you get there?
Yeah, I know. the question that just pops up is like, do you really want it? And psychologically, I fully understand. So what you just spoke to is our reptilian brain. And our reptilian brain, how much do you know about that?
Tell us all. Yeah, we haven't talked about that before.
So there's the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, and then the human brain. And to work backwards, human brain in like two words is analytical, logical, used for problem solving, and it can see back into the past and plan and project for what might happen in the future. So mm-hmm. plan solutions. Mammalian brain responsible for emotions, mm-hmm. Empathy, love, social connection and support. And the reptilian brain responsible for, in this order, safety. So have I got a house? Have I got shelter? Is anything a threat to me? Sustenance, and then sex. But sex for the purpose of furtherment of the species. Mm-hmm. So our reptilian brain, we need it because otherwise we throw the concept of safety and survival out the window. Part of that is the tribe we exist in and the status or identity we occupy. Mm. We get given our parents and a societal blueprint of how to grow up and have a life at that time. That blueprint is essentially, you could call that a survival blueprint. Mm. This is how to survive on Earth, according to mom and dad and society right now. So most people are probably at the same, if you don't do work, generally you stay at the same kind of status and dynamic. You have the same people around you at every age you are. Mm-hmm. If you then decide to do work, so what's your age?
26.
Cool. 27. When's your birthday?
Christmas Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you're triggering my, this podcast is not about me, Christian, thing. I'm like, okay, let's focus on the audience. That's really cool. Thank you for triggering that for me.
That's all right. Yeah, anytime that we try to move from where we currently are, like our reptilian brain, which is like literally at the back here, is going, this is like flipping through the pages going, oh, that's not on the survival blueprint. Because the survival blueprint has got you to here. So if you start looking at a different book that's not the survival blueprint, even if it's like the thrival freaking Bible or something, How to Thrive, it's different. It's different to what we've done and it's unknown. So that's really scary. Yeah.
So we have all of these agreements about how we need to show up so that we can continue to survive, and our parents will continue to support and accept our decisions and us.
Yeah.
And then we get to continue to be a part of the tribe. I don't know about you, but I look at some of my friends who haven't done the work, and they still get to have similar friends. Like, they're like, I've had this same friend for like 17 years. And I'm like, yeah, that's fantastic. I do not have many long-term friends, especially not long-term friends that I really resonate with, because I'm shifting so much that my tribe around me constantly does shift as well. And so it can get lonely. And as humans, we don't like to be lonely. We don't like to leave people behind. And we don't like to be left behind either.
Totally. Yeah, because that is a direct threat to survival. Like, we actually, I first the other day understood the saying of back to back, or I've got your back. Apparently, you know, certain indigenous tribes, when they went hunting, they would literally stand back to back because you can't see behind you. So you've got like two eyes that way and two eyes that way. So we needed social support and tribal structures. Like, that's just hardly ingrained in us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the parking our flag in our future reality that is desired, that to me, to get there, I have to be willing to give up the identity that I have now, the people that I have around me now, and anything that is in the way of this future reality. Like, it has to be, I have to become defenseless, unattached, and totally willing. And I think that is one of the things that keeps people stuck, is that they're not willing to give up what they have there so that they can then see what happens on the other side. But you and I have now done it so many times that we know that if you just like take the leap, then like, yes, some people leave, some things leave, but over the other side, more magic comes in. It is always replaced. Like, DeMartini's work is like, something leaves, something comes in. Always replace.
Yeah, one thing that also I wanted to share earlier was I interviewed Elliot Hulse like last week or the week before, and he said, don't try and make the right decision, make the decision right. And he said, decide and devote, or something like that. So decide and devote your energy to making it the right thing. And I like that.
So I want to go then to your current example that we're using. You've got this big leap of faith. You put your flag over there. Now, what kind of steps are you going to take, and what kind of steps would you coach your clients to take to release those limits so that you can get to the other side?
Yeah, I'm probably just about to start with two new mentors that I highly resonate with. There's thousands of people who have the type of lifestyle and success and business that I'm doing, but I don't resonate with all of them. So the two that I have come into contact with here, highly, like, it's like, are we the same person type of thing? Like, you're me 10 years older, you know? So that feels really true to me, is to I'm letting go of another mentor soon, probably, and gonna start with this new one who has a different energy, a different approach. And that feels great to me, because whilst this other mentor, he certainly has the type of business and lifestyle that I want and is doing work, that work doesn't feel as true and as calling to me right now. So for me, it's kind of, you know, what I'm feeling right now is it's almost a case of letting go of something that, like, might be a, my heart said, 98% of my heart says yes, or like 70, or like, but I've been saying to people, right now I'm listening to like the 0.001 last percent of my heart. Is it a yes from that very edge of my heart, or that very like bullseye of my heart? And holding the, one of my favorite phrases is holding my heart's integrity right now.
And how do you hear your heart?
Sometimes really obviously, and sometimes it takes great listening and a lot of stillness. It takes questioning, and it takes honesty with myself. Yeah, that is, if there's one up level to have, it's that, listening to the very last degree of your heart.
Thank you.
Can I, if I give you an example of that, practically, I've got one as it pertains to relationships, which I'd love to go there, but I also don't want to go there.
Okay.
So I probably shouldn't have just said that at all. But I feel like this is an indicator of if you're not listening to your heart, is if you are uninspired, if you're bored, if you're tired in thinking, if in even thinking about doing something. So I've created a course called Effortless Expression, and one of the pillars of it is safety. When I was thinking about what music to play to facilitate people connecting to more and activating more safety within themselves, I started thinking about really womb type music, in the womb, deep, you know, stuff like that. And I just like had this moment, and I'm so happy that I caught it, of like, I don't like that music. Like, I don't want to play womb music. That's not me. And I realized that I was starting to think about creating something based on what I had experienced, like what's already been done. And I was like, that's not me. And I don't know if I've told you this story, but then I was like, I love hip hop, love R&B. It's like, can I use safety to facilitate, can I use hip hop and R&B to facilitate safety? And I'm like thinking of like people getting down to this gangster music, and I'm like, I can probably do it because I feel like anything can be done. But what actually happened was it birthed a whole new direction for me to go in. And because like once I went, oh my God, that's what I want to do, the whole plan, the whole, a whole new workshop just dropped into place. And I put that out there, and I got such a great response to it because I think it was so uniquely me.
I find that I have to be really on that as well. Like I go, so I might wake up and I sit in front of my altar and surrender all of my expectations, all of my attachments, all of my plans, and then I allow the divine to guide me, and then I get so inspired and I'm like, yeah, this is going so well, and then I take back control, and that's when I'm like, my mind jumps in and is like, so like I've seen it done like this, and blah, blah, and then I get tired instantly again, and so I have to like really be aware, when do I come, like when do I feel like this is great flow, okay, now control the flow. And that little shift is when you step out of your heart and into your head. You step out of service and joy and into like, how can it be done? And like externally wanting validation and all of that sort of stuff as well. Yeah. So, okay, we have to finish up soon. So I want to go back to, you've parked your flag on the other side.
Okay.
All right. So I want you, so you talked about mentors, and I think basically if I can sum that up, pick a mentor who already embodies what you want to embody. Yeah. So imagine that I'm your client and I come to you because you already embody what I want to embody. Tick, done. Now I'm telling you, here's this future reality that I want. What would you suggest that people ask themselves right now who are listening to identify where they're placing those limits so that they even know what limits they're coming up against?
That's an insanely good question. For me, it always started with emotional charge. That is a very good place to start in terms of triggers, because that which we're triggered by generally causes a very unconscious reactive behavior. For me, when I'm triggered, everyone is a little different, but for me, I tend to switch off. I kind of contract instead of open. Well, like quite literally, I can feel my body contract. My energy goes down. Like I get tired, and for sure, my subtle energy, my vibration, that's changed. So yeah, that is something I practiced for a long time, is listening when I'm emotionally charged. And then I ask a lot of questions around the charge. So I ask what part of that kind of caused the reaction, or what part of that did I react to? So, like, let's say it's, you know, something you said. It's like, did your tone cause it? Was it a word? Was it your body language? Was it maybe we're sitting, you know, face to face, and a guy walks past, and like your eyes just go with him, and maybe it brings up, I'm like, oh, like, if this may take time, but you can get really fast at it once you've practiced. So mm-hmm. like, oh, man, Kiara, when she looked at that guy, I got really triggered. Oh, what was that about? Oh, is she more interested in being with him? Okay, what's that about? Like, you know, it's triggering my feelings of not being good looking, something like that. And then it's like, once you've identified the actual, like, what it is underneath all of that, then there's various amounts of work and techniques you can do. You can do Byron Katie's work, you can do embodiment work, you can do kinesiology and clearing. So but what really worked for me was journaling. To journal a lot and just have a conversation with myself. Ask myself more questions. One of the best things that my dearest friend JP Sears taught me was that sometimes it's not even about the answer. The question itself opens your energy to changing. Because like a question is like it's opening. It's like, oh, I've got to, there's something, you know, it's like it opens and I'm searching for something. I'm looking around, I'm feeling into things. It's anything could be the answer to the question. So I'm totally open. And then an answer actually is definitive, so it brings it back in. And answers, of course, help at times, but it's just that, like, open, close, you know, that type of thing.
That's what I'm really excited about at the moment, actually, is like, if we, like, I feel like so much of the work that is currently out there is about upgrading our belief system. So especially personal development, like, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Okay. Like, now I believe that I can. And we think that that is making us limitless, but it's just creating a different limit. So maybe we're like, I can't make $100,000 a year. Okay, yes, I can. All right, cool. But then you can't make $1 million a year, and then you have to like upgrade to that level as well. But what I think actually truly makes us limitless is to ask a question and leave it unanswered. To go like, I can't make $100,000 a year. Well, is that true? And like, do Byron Katie's work, is that true? How can I absolutely know that that is true? No, I can't. And then you just like leave it. So it's like just the thought was questioned and no thought replaced that. That is limitless, not just upgrading our belief system, because we have to keep upgrading it then.
Yeah. Yeah. To say another thing that JP has said often, it's have beliefs, but don't believe your beliefs. And I love that, because like, to me, I believe, right, I'm willing to be proven wrong or otherwise, I believe that beliefs are not real. We just, they're not factual, sorry. They're not factual. We just provide evidence either way to put enough coins in that basket to believe, okay, yeah, I'm going to believe, like, now I think that's true. Yeah, there's that. And there was something else that I just wanted, there's a lot of questions that are definitely unanswered. You like you said, like unanswered or recurring questions. Like for me, so I've said this to a lot of clients recently. I said, that's probably like your answer might, you get an answer right now if you need an answer, but don't think that that's going to be a definitive answer for the next 20 years. You could ask yourself the same question in a year, a different answer, the opposite answer might come up.
I feel like that for me, true freedom and true limitlessness is coming at the moment from that, like holding the paradox of life in like I am everything and I am nothing at the same time. I am important and I am like the same as everyone else. Like,
yeah.
I have a really important role to play in this world, and if I did nothing, it's all perfect anyway. There's I'm trying to write a book at the moment, and I've like almost struggled because I'm like, every sentence that I would say, like every time I try to write like a quote image or something, I can come up with the opposing argument to that.
Yeah.
And I think that the limitlessness comes from believing nothing. Almost like as much as we possibly can, taking those beliefs away. Yeah.
That's one of the wisest positions and most powerful positions I feel like I can move from. And that's something I do work with my clients. I believe every time we hit a threshold for our current reality, like we're on the verge of things changing, like we've got our vision. And it's like, yes, I'm that greatness. Anytime we reach higher, we inevitably come up against our shit.
Mm.
So the higher we reach, the deeper the world goes in, oh, fuck, like, you know, there's a lot of shit to work on. And that's one of the most beautiful things. And for me, I practice sitting with both of those things. Because I feel like both of those things are a reality. I'm not trying to force myself into like my mindset to be a certain way. I think it's just super real and super authentic and super powerful to take the stance you just, talked about practicing. And then from there, it's like, it's a choice for me. It's a choice. It's like, I don't have to have a belief in order to actually achieve or go and do something. Like so many people say to me, oh, I need to be more confident to go and speak to that person. What if you don't?
I love the space that is left after what if you don't. Yeah. What if that's not true?
Yeah, because then it's a condition. I can only exhibit this behavior if I have this belief.
I loved what you said about if you want to get to a greater height, that you also need to be willing to go to a greater depth below of your shadow as well. So just yesterday morning and like the afternoon before that, I was like, what am I doing in California? This is a mistake. And I've done enough of that journey now that I can hold space for myself to go into the greatest like depths of my weakness and my unworthiness and all of that kind of like murky stuff that I wish that like I used to wish wasn't even there. And because I was willing to go into that darkness, I woke up today still kind of like couldn't be bothered, and then just like everything opened up again, and I have not been able to stop downloading ideas. I feel like everything is working out and like I'm high, like so high on life. But it couldn't, like that new level couldn't have come without me being willing to like dig my roots down further first. Yeah. And I think that if you want to hold anything, you have to be willing to hold the contrast of it. If you want to hold more success, you have to be willing to like be okay with more failure along the way. Like anything that, like if you want to place a limit on, if we're placing a limit on what we want, it's because on the opposite end, we're placing a limit on what like we're not willing to experience. I didn't even know that until I said it. Yeah. Yeah.
Put that in a meme and share it.
And then I would have some some contrasting paradoxical thing to say to me saying that. But yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I love that. And something that a question I asked myself the other day, and a question I've asked myself numerous times is, you know, if I know this, does it even help me? I don't know if we actually found out, I'm sure we'd be able to use it somehow, but if we found out there was a parallel universe, how much would that help me day to day?
Well, actually, personally, I fucking love quantum physics because the idea that there are parallel universes has helped me to understand. And this is like, so I do the same thing as you. So I've just gone, how does this help me? And then cool, I'll take it on board.
Yeah.
The like quantum physics has shown us that there are parallel universes, and so I'm like, that's fucking amazing, because that means that there is a universe right now where I already am standing on stage in front of thousands of people and I'm living my dream life. So if she's done it, of course I can. And so it helps me, like, I just used it to be like, of course I can have everything that I desire, because in some way it's already happened. So now I just need to follow the guidance to go along that path.
Well, but is this the parallel universe? Is what if that's not happening in the parallel universe?
I believe every, and again, I just picked my beliefs about that, right? Like, I also believe that none of it even matters. So there's like the paradox again. But I picked my beliefs about that, and I was like, everything that has ever, like, every possible opportunity, like the shittiest parts and the most amazing parts, and also none of it is shitty and none of it is amazing, like again, I'm like doing my head in with that, but anyway, all of them, all of the possible realities have already happened, and so I just get to pick which one I want to play in. So yeah, exactly. But I love what you're saying, like, just look at whatever someone is telling you and go, does that help me? And so I was like, I'll take that because that helps me. But with other stuff, I'm like, the idea of aliens and other star universes and stuff like that. We've talked about it once on this podcast. Like, I know so many people I really respect that believe that. I haven't got in there yet. And I'm like, I don't really know how that would help me right now. So I'm just going to keep focusing on what does help me right now. Yeah. I love the discernment of what beliefs actually help. All right, so we need to finish up. So can you tell us, like, if you're going to wrap it all up and give them like one sentence or one piece to take away, what would you want to tell people who feel limited right now and want to become limitless?
To move from your current limitations, it's kind of like moving from current limitations to less limited limitations in a way. Really, that may or may not be true, but to move from limited to unlimited, relative speaking, to where you are, I believe a vision is very important. To know if you need a vision, ask yourself, is everything in my life exactly as I want it to be right now? If you answer yes to that, don't create a vision. If you answer no, then look at the parts of your life that you want to be different and ask yourself how you want them to be. Create a vision based on that, because there's nothing like trying to create something that is not your current reality to bring your limitations and shit up, right? Because if I didn't have a vision and I was like, my life is good right now, I wouldn't, and I didn't try to stretch my current reality, I wouldn't come up against my stuff. I just stay where I'm at. So create a vision, and then along the way, you will come up against self-worth, you know, sexual insecurity, you know, do I deserve this? What if I fail? Like, whatever comes up for you, it's all great. That is the time to, you know, start addressing those charges, those emotional charges, those triggers. And I mean, we've spoken about a number of ways to go about them. Get a mentor, look at the part that triggers you. Also, on the opposite of that, like, let's say there's times where you notice you feel really confident and there's times where you notice that you feel super shy. I get really curious about what else was I feeling? What else was in my environment or part of my experience that made me feel shy, or that I decided to feel shy in that moment? What was it in that moment of confidence that was there which made me feel confident. So then I can replicate that as well. Or like it doesn't literally have to be in the environment, but it could be in my internal environment.
That goes back to the similar thing to modeling as well.
Yeah.
How can you replicate what someone else is doing or what you did in another situation that worked?
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christian, for sharing all of this juicy goodness with us. How can people come and find you if they would like to connect?
Yeah, so there's my website, christianstephanmartin.com, and then there is my Facebook page, my personal page. Send me a friend request. That is Christian Charles.
So Christian is with K at the start and mm-hmm. Stefan is with a PH, but everything else you will figure out. So christianstefanmartin.com and then Christian Charles is his Facebook page. And again, that's still with a K for Christian. So thank you very much, Christian, and I will see you in the secret episode.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that you enjoyed listening to that podcast just as much as I enjoyed recording it. I love the way that Christian will not answer until he's listened to himself first. Like the way that every word that comes out of his mouth is truly his own authentic expression. And I hope that you felt that as a transmission of permission to only speak what is true to you in that moment as well. If you enjoyed that podcast and you'd like to know more about the behind the scenes of Christian's life, including what he does when he first wakes up in the morning and how he's just recently shifted that to be more conducive to the life that he wants. We talked about his own journaling practices, like what he actually does when he's journaling. And absolute gold, we talked about his embodiment practices and how he does that. And I even got stuff that I wanted to go away and implement immediately. So I hope that you take the time to listen to that and you can get access at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. And you can also come and join a community of hundreds of lightworkers and share with us, what did you receive from this transmission? What did you realize you were limiting yourself in and how you could let yourself have more freedom and a more limitless life just by listening to this podcast and then taking action on it? I'd love to hear that one nugget that you got out of it. Head to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising. You can come and join hundreds of lightworkers just like you who are taking this path and feel supported and safe and have a sacred place to come home to all the time on your journey. Thank you so much for doing this work for you and for the world. When you're changing your internal world, you are changing everything around you, and I am so honored to be able to hang with you on this journey. Thank you so much. My name is Kiara. It is an honor to be here, and I will see you next week.